Hey, Pronussers, welcome back to the Pronussers podcast. Excited to have you. And that's because we're diving into revenue breakdowns and the team structure. What should the team structure look like at different revenue breakdowns? Why is this important? Well, if you haven't gotten to that revenue marker yet, let's say you're at 250K in sales and you want to continue growing. Well, what does a $1 million shop look like? What does the team look like? What are the different people's roles look like? And using that can help demystify it and get you a little bit ahead of the curve to be able to start hiring a little bit earlier and be less reactionary. So excited to dive in. But real quick, we've got four incredible sponsors here today that we are going to talk just briefly about, because they've been a big support of us for 2 years, 3 years? I don't know, quite some time. So big thank you to these folks, as they're a true partner in your business as well. First up, GraphX Source. If you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, GraphX offers industry-leading outsourcing options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo or any other shop management solution that you use, and help pull in artwork, handle SEPs and mockups, creative art, digitizing, all that good stuff. They've been doing it for over 30 years. And if you mention Printavopod 24, that gets you 50% off your first vector, SEP, or digitizing order.
Sweet. Bruce, you shouldn't spend hours cleaning dirty screens. Spending hours cleaning screens is a thing of the past with EasyWay's screen printing and screen printing chemicals. Their innovative formula are designed to work quickly and effectively, so you can spend less time cleaning, more time creating. Plus, EasyWay is passionate about empowering printers of all skill levels. They offer helpful resources, expert advice, and they're there to just help you succeed. I think they work with over 100 distributors, partner very closely with the team at Blue Water, and I actually saw someone got a new Blue Water yesterday. I think it was like Deanna, maybe? I don't know. I keep seeing EasyWay everywhere. So you see them everywhere. Give them a shot. Thanks so much, EasyWay. We appreciate you.
Multicraft Daddy. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft Screen Printing and Digital Supplies for over 50 years have been, I'm pretty sure that's like their trademarked slogan. They've been providing you with top brands at competitive pricing. Mention Printable Pod, get 10% off your first order. And then number three, DM Multicraft _ Daddy. Send him your email address and he enters you in a contest to win free stuff every week. PMI tape. I don't know. What's the other stuff you guys were talking about that he's
I think he's doing some emulsion now. Right. And you know what? Dave just crossed 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Oh,
congratulations, hey. Dave. 1,008 followers. That's a really big deal. He's back on the content game. So follow him. He gives away stuff all the time. He's a great wealth of knowledge and a resource for our space. All right. Supacolor.
Supacolor. I don't know if you've seen this.
Ooh, going there, huh? New website?
If you go to store.supacolor.com, this is part of their new experience. Really, really exciting. Why? Because you can literally just drag and drop. I ordered stuff on there the other day. You can drag and drop files, auto sizes it to you. You select the type of transfer you want, and boom, you hit order. It's like off the Shopify experience. So it's so, so quick. And it's incredible to work with. The new V2 transfers that they've, the technology that they have in those things is incredible. Really easy to use and peel.
I saw a couple of the videos and it looks incredible. And the new website is so slick. I know that Rum and the team have been working on it for quite some time. So congratulations to the team there. They're doing gang sheets. They got DTF. They have their tried and true transfers. Give Supacolor a shot. Thanks so much, Supacolor. We appreciate you.
Yeah. And last but not least, Printavo 1.5. That gets you 15% off your order. So dump that in there. All right. So we talked a little bit about this last time, but you've been doing a variety of different consulting, you know, helping shops, doing all kinds of things. And I think the big thing that helps when you have a coach with your business is if they've been there and done that, they can just help you maybe make 15% less mistakes. On a good day, maybe 30% less. I think, like, as owners, we're still a little bit stubborn with the things we want to do.
Sure.
But seeing around the corner is helpful.
Well, I first will say thank you for everyone that's reached out. I was overwhelmed with interest, and so I'm completely booked up for next quarter. So if you're still interested, shoot me a message. I'm happy to put you on the calendar. But I think the resounding questions that we constantly get are like organizational structure. And more often than not, when someone makes a bad hire, there's a lot of regret. What did I do wrong? But then when someone makes a good hire, they're like, man, I should have made this hire years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think what we want to do, Bruce, is break down at different revenue streams, how many employees you think you should have, what are the basic formulas you maybe need to do on napkin math, and who are those first couple of hires every step of the business? And I think, you know, as you're listening to this, maybe you can compare your own notes of how you hired in your business. But I think these building blocks are really scary. Hiring is really, really hard and difficult. And maybe we can talk through some of the Printavo ones too. It'd be cool. Sure. Where do you want to start?
Well, maybe we could just do a high level of what we think the revenue breakpoints are. So these are the different stopping points that I thought were changes in the business, in that like the business was going down this path and it kind of tilts in a different direction. So I thought those were six different points that we'll talk about. 100K in sales, 500K, 1 million in sales, 2 million, 3 million, and 5 million. Is that too many, too little? What do you think?
I think the, okay, so if you're a 100K shop, you're a sole proprietor. Let's just put that out there. So maybe let's jump that up to like a 250, right? Because I think it's like, when are you ready to hire those first couple employees, right? So napkin math really quickly. If you're trying to be a 10% profitable company, after paying yourself and you have, you know, $250,000 of sales, you have to think about what can you afford to both pay yourself and pay someone else. So what is the general principle, Bruce, from a percentage standpoint, napkin math, like you're tipping, you know, like someone flipped out the tip thing. What percentage of $250,000 should go to owner's payroll and employee payroll? Because the owner is an operator here, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm curious as to the margins. I mean, what would you say? Maybe half goes to just garments and other cogs at the gate?
Yeah, I'd say about 50%, right? So 50% is your cost of goods sold and the price it takes to maybe produce it. So, you know, at Campus Inc., we say that 8 to 10 cents on the dollar is what it takes to produce the shirt. That's our calculation.
Okay.
Right. And then we say, you know, there's another 10 to 15% on the back office. Right. And then, you know, and so what you want to look at is say, like, let's just take 30% of a quarter million. 30% of a quarter million is $75,000. So if you did $250,000 in sales, $75,000 should be allocated to payroll and probably yourself. So that's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? In the grand scheme of things, let's just say you're a 10% profitable company. Let's just say, call it $100,000 is what the owner can split with their employees. Mm-hmm. That's not a ton. Right.
And so, you have maybe one full time, probably a part time person.
Maybe one full time, maybe a $20 an hour employee. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, what you want to start to think about is this ratio of revenue per employee. Really strong companies might have a ratio of $300,000 per employee. Right. But only doing $250,000, $300,000 in sales, you probably can only have one employee working with you if you are paying yourself as an employee. So it's really a two-person operation. Does that sound reasonable?
I think so. So maybe let's call it one to one and a half. Now, what would that role be? So you're getting started, you know, you broke 50 to 100K. That's an incredible starting point. You're looking at the first person when I get to 200, 250. What do you think that is? Is that operations or is it front office?
So I think we have to split our business up into production, operations, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. sales, or front office work. So front office and back office, front of house, back of house, right? You as an owner have to realize what you're good at. Like if you're the great salesperson, then you have to hire the screen printer. If you're the great screen printer, you need to hire the front office. So it has to be the opposite of what you are doing. It can't be the same. I think thinking about our friends here, right? If someone's a great printer, you know, in the industry, right? Then they have to hire for the opposite. You know, we could take a couple of our friends, for instance, right? Who's a friend of ours early on that was probably crazy at printing.
Could I ask you maybe another question then? Is that
okay? Fine.
What do you think is the most valuable thing that they could be doing? Because I definitely agree that, you know, if they're able to do these crazy quality prints, you know, whatever it is, technical stuff that they're trying to do, and they hire someone else to do sales, is the largest value add being able to do those crazy technical prints? And maybe the answer is yes right now, but is it at 1 million in sales? Does that continue, or is it okay for it to be there now? Because you're right. And I do think a lot of folks obviously get in this business because they are passionate about the art and they are passionate about the print process. And that's really cool.
It's a double-edged sword. It's dangerous to a certain degree because you can get stuck in the ink and never get out of it.
Whoa. All right. Trademark.
Banger alert. But this is where you see businesses thrive that are like, they have co-founders, right? Like I look at a Stoked On Printing with Shane and Kevin, right? Where one person is the front, one person's the back, right? Or a husband and wife operation. This is where you start to see that. I think this early on, mm-hmm. you can't over worry about, you have to do what you're good at.
Yeah.
And you can't worry too much about like being so high level, because what you're really trying to do is break to that 300, 400, 500K range where now you can hire two or three people. Fear is everyone invests in their production first and their sales last. And that I think is the double-edged sword, is getting stuck there where they're like, okay. Yeah, I don't have a front office person. I just keep doing it all. That's dangerous.
All right. I like it. So it's really the opposite of your different skill set. All right. Stage two, 500K, or is it higher?
I think it's 500K. So if we're working on the same ratio, this is 2 to 3 employees,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a business that spends, you know, call it, you know, $120,000 on payroll, maybe some owner's comp in there for another 30,000, right? And maybe trying to get 5 to 10% profit. So these are where you're going to have 2 to 3 employees. And here is where I think the mistake is made, is everyone just hires more screen printers and they don't counterbalance on the other side. This is where the owner will say, I just handle all the intake and I just have printers in the back that print. And this is where I think the critical mistake is made, where for every back office, you need to hire a front, or you need to have some sort of formula starting to.
Oh, interesting. So what do you think is the ideal structure here? So if, let's say the owner is now jumping to their front. You know, there's, I'm assuming 1 to 2 people in addition to the owner. So one is a printer. That leaves you 1 to 2-ish more. Where do you place? Are you having like more of an account manager that's helping? Are you having someone, you know, prep screens, or is the printer prepping as well?
So at Campus Inc., when I first bought into the business, maybe I could help give you a little bit of the org chart very early on. This mm-hmm. is when we're at $750,000.
Okay.
So I had 2 business partners and 2 screen printers and a guy that folded shirts in the afternoon occasionally.
Okay.
And I immediately took the role as front desk person. Because I was front desk person, I also did the purchasing, and my business partner did the check-in and the staging, and then he had 2 printers on the floor printing, and that was $750,000. So you have to start to think about this input-output machine. Someone has to take the order, someone has to purchase the shirts, someone has to order the shirts, check in the shirts, burn the screens, stage it. And so we run into this same problem again, is where's the next bottleneck for the business? I think this is where you see the front office person also folding shirts, also bagging, tagging, mm-hmm. also purchasing. It's like the multi, this is the person with 20 hands, right? And I think at this stage, you have to hire a front desk person or a front, an email answer, phone picker upper. You have to have this person.
So this front office person's a superhero.
This is our Mila.
Yeah.
Right. So Mila, who now runs our entire production, she started at the phones. And then she was picking vinyl in between, and she was making deliveries, and she was bagging and tagging, and she was heat pressing. But then she would also answer emails in the morning, in the evening. But the whole idea there is I didn't have to do order entry, and mm-hmm. I didn't have to answer emails. There was someone there that could do it.
Got it.
And could you perhaps, Bruce, does that have to be a full-time employee? Could that be a VA?
I mean, not if they're also going to the back to helping, you know, because you talk about folding, checking in, you know, other occasional that's not.
Would you split the role up and say, like, hire a VA as a secretary so that you can focus more time on hiring for other things?
If you can get it on the customer service and order entry side, yeah. My worry, though, is especially at that size, you know, the customer interactions. I think, yes, if you could find the right person, and I think that they can hop on the phone, they could do email, they're available during work hours, I could see it. But I do think, thinking back to that time, I was so, you know, cautious of customer interactions and maybe too much so, but I was like, you know, how are we writing this back? Are we going a little bit above and beyond on this? Are we, you know, how are we handling this and so on? I personally, that would be hard for me to give to someone, even if they're in the States, like, you know, someone in Texas or.
So is this states. The transition from owner starting to really like, is what you're saying? It's more important for the owner of the company to be front office, talking to customers, answering emails as quickly as possible, giving the best experience they can. When they're growing and they're still small.
Dude, you know what? This makes me think that maybe this was the time that skill set of being able to, you know, really build the team that's going to do those important tasks, regardless of if they're full-time or not, or like physically in your building or not. Like this was the beginning of it. And like my gut is like, no, like I have to answer that. I have to enter this in. I have to call back the person. I need to do this. But yeah,
that's a little chaotic. I think it's a little chaotic, but I think that's the grind. I don't think you can dodge that.
Yeah.
The scary part about this is where the hamster wheel starts to turn, and it's like, you wake up every day just putting out fires, answering emails, delivering shirts. You don't do anything forward facing on the business. You can't work on your website. You can't work on Zaps, and you're just drowning right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is, yeah, that 500K to 750 is a, I feel like it's suffocating a little bit. I think it's a really hard place to be in.
Now on the production side here, are you saying maybe one part-time then, one plus one part-time?
Yeah,
or does it just depend on the workload? Or
I think you have to have someone. I think this is where the owner needs to take a position and say, I'm going to be the best possible customer service person I can be, because that's the only thing that's going to grow my business. And I can't be on press. I think that if you're in a position where you are the customer service, doing emails and doing a great job of that, and you're trying to jump on press, you should just sub out your work.
Really?
I've told some shops this that are at $750,000 to $1 million. What if instead of you,
some.
I was talking to one and I was like, you know, what if you just subbed it all out for a couple months?
Everything.
Everything.
It's an interesting test.
Like, well, we wouldn't be able to do stuff fast. I'm like, yeah, you could if you had a good contract printer. A lot of people don't want to print right now. But then, you know, well, they're not going to be as good as me. No, the contract printers are better than us, right? And so it's like, what if you just didn't even think about it and you didn't print Like, if you can't get yourself a good screen printer, but you're doing a great job at customer service, I think this is where people have this imposter syndrome of like, I have to be a superhero. And I wish instead of buying all this equipment and doing stuff, I probably leaned into subbing out a little more.
That's tough. Just like the delegation part of the people related tasks, this is the delegation of the printing task. You know, it's like he got to this point from buying the equipment, from, you know, loving the process and everything. And then it's like, nope, I'm taking that.
You know, but you have to be able to hit edit undo. One of the funniest things that Justin Lawrence and I did was we bought Roland printers, VG540s. Okay. And I bought mine and, we're using it. We're doing signs, banners, and freaking Roland banner sucks. There's nothing good about it. And then we discovered Sign 365 and B2 Sign. And now my Roland printer
is B2 Sign.
Yeah. And now my Roland printer collects dust and is really used for just retirement parties and last second things and stickers. I think Justin uses his more for doing his chill stuff. But if I wasn't, I had to bite the bullet and say, I know I spent 15, 20 grand on this. We're not going to print these in-house anymore.
But now it's a great paperweight.
Now we still use it a little bit. But that's the thing. A VA, you could technically hire someone from GraphX to help you outsource all your work.
Yeah, that's a good question. So artwork, how is artwork being handled in this stage? Because we said one front office are doing the kind of superhero. They're probably not doing art, though. Printer, more back office owner.
So for us, we had Jed, my business partner, doing art at night. This is where the husband or the wife is usually doing art at night. And they've got a digitizer on the other side of the world. The best recommendation I can give here is for $2,000 a month, hire GraphX, hire someone else to do your art, and let them show you how to run an art department.
Okay.
It's 2024. I don't know what to tell you. I wish someone, we started with GraphX or outsourcing our art right when COVID hit because we had layoffs. That is one thing I wish I did light years or like way earlier.
How do you work well with a team like that on the art department? Because, you know, obviously GraphX is a huge supporter of us. So I'm not like throwing shade. It's just more so, I think this is a new thing for people. Especially a core aspect of the business that you interact with daily. So are there any good best practices of like, all right, we had to rework the way we think about doing things to work better with GraphX or any other, you know, outsourcing.
You know, what's really funny. We love GraphX. I'll talk to some shops and be like, yeah, we tried it. It just didn't work for us. And I'm like, you need to let them tell you how to run. I think the biggest mistake that shops make is when they're diving into delegation processes. They don't have processes set up. They don't have systems in place. They don't have SOPs. They don't even have a good way to communicate, you know? And it's like,
and they're like, GraphX, work inside this mess.
Yeah. Like come inside my sandbox, run, come inside my sandbox and play with me and play with my toys. And you know, I don't even know how to use them, but YOLO. Right. And it's like, when you hire a team like GraphX, let them show you how your shop should run. Let them be like, hey, your Printavo should actually be set up like this. It's going to be a little bit easier.
It's a good point. They work with so many shops and they've dialed this process in on their end pretty well.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, of course, are they going to make different mistakes? Yes, they're human, but they level us up every day because they're experts in their own niche. And, you know, in this day and age in 2024, if you are a $500,000 shop up to, you know, you should not be doing, you can have a creative artist in house, right? That's actually doing like really original creative, but production ready art, taking the custom ink links and then quickly ripping them for the PTO. That should not be a stateside employee.
Okay. So production side, the creative side on there, you talked about building stores and stuff. So it's a little bit like the sort of operational side of art.
Are
they helping you on the DTF side too? I'm not sure how much you have to prep to get that ready for.
Yeah, when you print it's no different than a separation. They're just prepping the PNG files and getting it all ready for us and cleaning it up. You know, cool. They do that in their sleep. But again, as you're growing, you want to hold on to the most, you know, coveted most important parts like customer service, right? Or talking to customers. You don't want to outsource that right off the gun. But then you want to start to delegate everywhere else you can so that it can just run. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a funny example here. I recently took a 2-week trip and I have a garden in my backyard, and it's the middle of June, July, and I water my plants every day, and my plants look great, but I know that if I don't water them, the plants are going to die. So before my trip, I decided to go on Amazon and order an irrigation system. I haven't even told you about this yet. And I found this irrigation system. I watched a YouTube thing on it. It was like $50. And then there's this little timer thing, and it does a drip irrigation every day for 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's so consistent. I came back yesterday
and
my plants look better than I have ever seen in my life.
Really?
Than I could have ever done them. Like, and I'm like, wow, it's because it was so consistent. It did the same thing every day and it just ran. Now there was one of my planters had a little flooding issue because of the drainage. Fine. But when you put these systems in place and you just let them run, it was, I had this like light bulb moment. I was like, this is the same thing of like putting in a GraphX and just letting it run and then figuring it out as it goes. It's going to become better than what you could have done. If you need an irrigation system or an art department, let me know.
use your link. What's the next? Do you think then the next point or revenue break is 1 million or is it higher?
Yeah.
Okay, 1 million. So, and what do you think the owner's time, by the way, is worth at 1 million?
I think the owner's time as a dollar amount is worth about 100 grand a year.
All right, so 100 grand a year divided by call 2,000 hours is $50 an hour.
You shared with me something about a dollar an hour thing the other day. Do you want to share it?
Oh, I don't even remember. I feel like you said if there's so much
any job that is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You said something along the lines of, "There's any job that you can pay someone $25 an hour to do, you should not
yeah,
do
yeah, it. I remember now.
Never do anything you could pay someone $25 an hour to do."
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was a great... That was Gino Wickman's new book. So Gino is the guy who wrote Traction, which we talk about a lot, the EOS business system that, in fact, I think is a good time to start that at 1 million, which we could talk about in a second. But in his new book, I think it's called Shine, maybe, something. Yeah, yeah, Shine. But he said, which I love to do a deep dive into this book, actually, another one, because I've highlighted a ton of stuff. But one of the really cool quotes is anything under $25 an hour, which, you know, full respect to people who, you know, are working hard and are at that scale and is a good stepping block. But that should be outsourced. You should not be doing that, touching it, thinking about it, you know, anything like that. And
it was because your time is worth double that.
More. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Which is not just a work thing. He was pushing that as a, you know, personal family life thing and a work thing. So things at home. He said house things. You should not be doing any house related chores or things like that at all. You know, you're talking about cleaning, surprisingly cooking you can have under this bucket as well. You know, laundry, whatever all those things are doing that you just either really don't like doing and or 25 or under, outsource it. So anyway,
If you're running a $1 million shop, let's just make sure we get back to the brass tacks of this. If you're running a $1 million shop, you should be four to five employees.
Okay.
Does that feel right? Does that feel good?
I think so. So about a third or so goes to about a quarter or so goes to payroll.
Yeah. So if you took $250,000 to payroll and split that over five, that's five $50,000 employees. You should be able to.
Is that what you think is roughly on average, right? Because there's an interesting thread also on Facebook and they're like, what are you guys paying in more rural areas? And the consensus was like 25 to 30 an hour, depending. And then more manager, really, you know, production management type, it was around 100 or so, you know, plus or minus 30K maybe.
Yeah. I think you have to take the hourly rate they make and the price of employing them. We're talking about Social Security, taxes, payroll, even like your HR fees, whatever. Yeah.
Healthcare.
So I always yeah, I always take whatever their hourly is. I add like 10 to 15%, right? And so we call it like burdening, like the burden of employment. And so you should, here's what's cool is with 5 or 6 employees, you should be able to run a $1 million company. To run a $1.5 million company might only take another employee and a half. Like that's where you start. I think we made the most amount of money when we were at like 1.6 to 2 million, because we were running as lean as if we did a million, like with those 5 or 6 employees, but the money you make on the back half of it is gravy. And so, you know, if you only have $300,000 of payroll on 1.6, right? Like that's incredible, you know? But $300,000 of payroll on 1 million is a little heavy. So when you start to get to that $1 million mark, it's so important that you invest in sales and marketing to make this jump quickly. You know, you don't want to stay in this like limbo space. And that's where you might not make money in the climb. But once you get to that 1.6 to 2, you're in a much better spot.
That's cool. Laundry's done?
My laundry's done.
No, that's great. So we've got the existing team from 500 to 750. What else are we adding? So you talk about sales and marketing. Are we saying dedicated account management? Is the front office person also doing less work? Because before they were superheroing it.
I think you have more dedicated. So now you start to like create experts in niches. This front office person does not leave the front office. They are just answering emails. They're just doing customer service. They are just asking for Google reviews. Like we hadn't really started outbound sales yet. We were just trying to maximize, like build off the relationships we have. It was at about 1.6 that Kevin started working with Myla Baumgart about that range.
Kevin Baumgart, and so like, set sales.
I was able to get the business to this. And then I had to be like, okay, I need a coach now. And then this is where I was trying to hire a real production supervisor, like someone that could really own the shop floor. And we struggled with that for a long time. This is where we tried to promote from within. We tried to take our best screen printer and make him a manager. But I think this is where if you can find overpay for senior leadership, you will feel lighter as a business owner to have someone in the back that just is crushing it for you. I think this is where a lot of people will struggle.
Giving the chance to someone to potentially take on a role like that, that's hard. I think we've done it successfully and probably more so unsuccessfully. I have tried to do it by just giving them more tasks that a manager would take on. I think that's also difficult though, because they have their existing stuff that as an individual contributor that they need to be doing. And honestly, you know, they probably don't have management experience yet, like people management experience yet. And truthfully, like that's a bit different of a career path as far as managing people versus just being an awesome individual contributor. And also, I think there's nothing wrong with it, but like there is this weird expectation where people are like, all right, next step, I want to be a manager, right? And it's like, all right, you know, and you try it. And then they're like, yeah, you're dealing with all these people problems now. You're not working on your craft or just focusing on yourself now. Sorry, long way of saying, I'm assuming you've made it work. Any things that can help others for trying to see if this could work, or maybe like a test run for folks? And by the way, because the last thing I'll put on is that's the other thing is that I did a test run as well with someone and I knew it wasn't working after a month or two. And then now what do you do? Right? Do you kind of demote them back? It's just so demotivating and it screws things up.
Okay. I made this mistake so many times.
I mean, we'd love it to work, right? Like this is the dream scenario.
Best screen printers, I burned out trying to turn into managers. Some of the best screen printers that have come through Campus Inc. that I'm like, ooh, you're doing awesome. Let's teach you management. Let's do this and that. Crash and burn and are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And there was something about it where I was like, that just seems right. They're the best employee. They need to start teaching people. And the best operators are not the best managers. And it wasn't until I actually hired from outside the industry to get a real manager that understands people and understands hiring and understands shift scheduling and understands quality control and, you know, can keep the peace. And that's where we finally found some glue. But man, we burned through a lot of people trying to find that person. And for the most of the time, it turned into me. And this is where, man, this is where I'm driving like crazy back and forth between Champaign and Chicago. I'm pulling all-nighters. I'm in the shop till early morning. And that was a dark time for our business. And so you have to be really conscious about this hire and not destroy what you've built when trying to bring in leadership.
What would you have done if you would have gone back? Would you have just tried to do it for someone from the outside first? Or
yep.
But what about giving people a shot? Because there's definitely people that want to, you know, hey, I'd love to see what this is like. And they've been doing great. And it's like, this could work.
At that point in our business, we didn't have a sound HR policy. We didn't do continuous reviews that were like on really good cycles. It was more just like shooting from the hip of like, you seem good. Try this out. Sure.
Yeah.
Versus like now, you know, we do promotions once a year. There's a very intense review cycle. We go through title changes. We're doing it right now. It takes almost 10 weeks to do. We weren't at that stage to do it. I wish I would have asked for help. I wish I would have gone to a coach or an advisor to help me hire for this role because I was not qualified to manage them. I was not qualified to hire them. And I was doing the best I could, but I kept striking out. And so this is where it would be really good to hire a recruiting agency to hire for you, right? Like Wendy, one of the HR partners that you guys used at Printavo for a long time, pay them 15 grand to hire you a great manager. You know, yeah. Let them do a great interview process, let them vet them, because if they stick, you're going on another planet.
Yeah, that's so. By the way, Wendy's business that we use a lot is BHRSpartners.com. Use Wendy, she helps us with interviewing a ton. So she'll screen a lot of people and get them started, create HR docs, processes, just that kind of stuff. Hugely helpful. Okay, so we've got a production manager, we've got outsource art department, one front office person, one printer, or is there two? There's got to be two.
There's more probably than one. A handful of printers now. If you're doing 1.6, you're either running one auto really hard, mm-hmm. you know, one auto and a lot of heat presses now, mm-hmm. or you're running two autos, a handful of heat presses, right? So the one interesting thing that my business partners, you know, were hard on me for is like, they're like, hey, we're not going to have a loader and an unloader and a catcher on every press all the time. We're going to, you know, teach people to run one press by themselves. And it might be inefficient a little bit, but it's better to overstack your sales and marketing than overstack your production, because if you can't find enough work for them to do, then you just have a people problem. So at 1.6 million, you probably should have 5-6 people back there. You should be a 7-10 employee. Should be 7-10 employees. Would you say that's reasonable?
Got it. I guess to cap off one, to call it 1.5 or so, is that, mm-hmm. you know, are you talking full, like where does the breakdown between full part-time? Are you trying to do like half and half in case of the swings of,
yeah.
Busy time, slow time. How do you balance that?
I think at 1.5, you have 6 full-time employees and a handful of part-time help.
Got it. Okay.
You've got a GraphX, you've got a VA, you know, you have an outsourced accounting firm you're paying. You know, you have those kind of shared resources and services. And then it's really when you get to that like 2-2.5 is where you really are starting to create silos for employees. Maybe you have a customer service and outside sales. Maybe you have someone just dedicated to the dark room and someone, you know, just on the floor, right? Like you start to like create experts. You know, it was at like 2.5 million where there was a dedicated shipping and receiving person. That's all they did. Right. And then they start to become experts in their space, and that's fun too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you start to really professionalize the organization around $2 million and you start to create a really, you start to create a hierarchy. One thing that I noticed that I would tell you, Bruce, you would fight me on this, or you'd say like, I'd say we're such a flat organization. Everyone does everything. Do you remember this? And you'd be like, well, isn't it better if you create experts in different roles or like actually create an org structure? And I'd be like, no, it's great. We all support each other. Everyone does everything here. And then that didn't work.
I think everybody thinks that like that's the way until you just burn out from so many direct reports. Like you just dealing with individual fires in every department all the time.
How many people can one person manage, including the owner?
Well, I thought it could have been 10 to 15, but it's definitely 5 to 7 max. Maybe 8 if you're really pushing it, but I think 5 to 7 max is the ideal.
Yep. Every 5 to 7 people needs one manager.
Yeah. And honestly, I would say too, that if there's a department where there are, let's say just, you know, general production or just general printing, right? You've got, let's say 3 people that are working full time there. I think, at least in our business, we had one person that would be more of like a senior / lead type. So that was the natural kind of, okay, hey, they deal with sort of the minute issues that may crop up instead of it just floating directly. Because if like all 3 to 5 people just float directly to you every time, it gets insane. Like it gets insane really quickly. So if they can go and like, you know, Mary or whatever is the lead, she's been there the longest. She knows how to deal with the problems. Like, hey, I want you to deal with it. And if you need to escalate it, bring it to me. That's a little hack that makes a lot of sense and is helpful.
Some advice that you gave me early on, Bruce, was build the org structure and put your name by it. Even if that role isn't hired yet, put your name by it if you fill that role. So in an organization, if you have a CEO, CFO, CMO, COO, if you have director of sales, VPs, if you've got operation people, like go on Google and look up huge company org charts and start to write your name by what you do and what other people do. And even if you haven't hired for them yet, or you're not planning on hiring it, it's still very important to be conscious of how a thriving organization should run. And so people will say like, okay, Steven, what do you do at Campus Inc. right now? It's like, I am the acting VP of sales. I co-do it with Kevin, right? And even though I'm the CEO today, I am the VP of sales, right? But I'm not the VP of marketing and I'm not the CFO and I'm not the CTO. But, you know, since we haven't hired the VP of sales yet, I put my name by that box. Mm-hmm. Did you do that at Printavo?
Yeah, just to plan out for the year. So we said, this is where we want to be at the end of the year. I think we all want to be a little bit cute or inventive with the org structure is like, you know, we're a little unique in how we do this. And that is not the space to be inventive or cute about. Like just copy the de facto org structure that everybody does when they grow up and become a big company and start fleshing out. There's a lot of other ways to be, you know, cute about different services and offerings, but
we're going to have to get our boy Lee Stewart on here. He was messaging me on Instagram and he's working on a ton of processes and procedures because he's so involved in every part of the business. And he's like, how do I start to delegate and elevate and get my hands out of these things? And so, he got some homework reading. He got traction. He's ripping it right now. He just put on his Instagram this morning. But even, you know, every business is going to have their own struggles when they're hiring. I have never heard of anyone doing it the right way or anyone doing it perfectly. I don't think there's a single shop out there that has not messed this up one time or the other. So I think the other thing you just have to accept is that you will mess this up. You will not do this right. And that's totally okay. So, yeah.
I put 100 an hour, by the way, at 2 million that the owner's time is worth. Do you think that's accurate?
100 an hour. Yeah. 100%.
That means that they're taking home, roughly, 200,000, 10% or so.
That's really healthy. That's high.
Too high? What do you think is reasonable?
At 2 million, the company should be the owner and the profit of the company. If it was 150 to 200K would be good. If you could pay yourself a healthy salary, you know, $80,000 to $100,000, and you could put $50,000 to $100,000 away, that's pretty solid for $2 million, I'd say.
All right, I'll put 75 an hour.
I think a lot of people would like that. So,
but that does give good context as to saying, even at a million, you know, at 50 to call it 75 an hour, you know, it's like, what are you spending time doing? Like, was that task worth, you know, is that thing that you just spent 2 hours worth $150? You know, and I bet 80% of it, the answer would be no. All right.
We're at 3 million.
Yeah.
We're at 3 million.
You know, let's take the folks that we had at 2 million. What do you think it's at? What did you guys add at that bracket?
Give me that number again.
3 million.
This is COVID.
Oh.
This is hard. This is where I took PPP. I laid off everyone in the company and rebuilt the company from scratch here. I was probably 15 to 20 employees at $3 million. This is where we took everything down to just a few core employees. I really took the company down to Cregan and Myla, a screen printer, front office. And then I built it back up. This is where I hired Brock and Yaz and people to really build out the sales org. Mm-hmm. And then I slowly kept adding on employees to reinvent the way we did $3 million. This is the transition from Campus Inc. of really being B2B to D2C. This is where we started to turn into a little bit of an agency. But I say this several times over, the cost of running a $3 million business and a $5 million business is 3 to 4 employees. And it all is dependent on your sales and marketing. And so this is where I started to have some employees that are making $75,000 to $100,000. This is where I had, you know, full dedicated people running different parts of the company.
And so was there management at each level, or where were the managers at?
There were some managers at each level. And Campus Inc. is very back office heavy. We build tons of online stores, right? We're dropping merch, you know, I had more like full-time VAs or full-time administrators that owned different parts of the business. A full-time administrator that ran accounting and kind of like invoicing and doing refunds and doing payroll and doing fundraising checks. And then I had one full-time person that was really building like online stores, building Shopify, doing, you know, all the e-commerce stuff. And then, you know, I had a full-time person on the production floor. I was still the VP of sales and probably 10 employees in fulfillment and stuff. So we're probably a team of 20. And this is where I hired just people older than me that were more mature, that had worked in other companies before. Mm-hmm. This is where we really used Chelsea Brinkley's services. If you remember Chelsea?
Yeah.
Where she hired full-time.
Profit or? No. Profit First Integrator, right?
No. Different. That's Kelsey from, or that's Sparks.
Oh.
But Chelsea would hire us US-based VAs.
Got it. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was about 20 employees. And then, you know, when we got our investment from Cuban is where I started to kind of really hire the like power hires, or CTO, or VP of, you know, sports, Adam, our CFO, our VP of marketing. And since that mark, the business has doubled in a year and will double in another year. And that's because you hire great people and they tell you what to do. And that's the point we're at. This is where my job gets fun.
Hey, that's a good last chapter of the book right there. You just close the book.
Yeah. I mean, we're today, Campus Inc. is probably 75 employees, 15 to 20 overseas. And the talent we have is humbling because they're the experts in the room now. And that's when your job gets fun.
Do you think the last blank here is managers at 5 million, right? So we had 3 million, 20 people. It seemed like pretty evenly split between production and sales. 5 million. Is it just, you said adding a couple more people on the sales and marketing side. Are you, I'm assuming you still have the production manager. You talked a little bit about CFO, you know, someone managing sales. Were there any others?
This is where we started to create experts in different parts of the business. So there was a D2C manager that just handled all of the, all orders D2C, and then someone that handled all stuff B2B. So we even created more niches. This is where we have marketing teams that are split between Shopify online stores and people that are just doing B2B bulk ordering sales. So This is where we've started to even split it up again. This is where we are also thinking about new business versus existing business. So customer success versus net new. And so, yeah, every part, if you kind of can hear what I'm trying to say, is every part of the business, I would just keep dividing and then hiring full time for that and keep dividing and hiring full time for that.
That's cool.
Our org structure is I call it like an awesome, it's a blooming onion from Outback right now.
Outback, not Chili's?
You're a Red Lobster guy. You need to go eat some more Red Lobster because I think they're going under.
I know. I mean, it's a fun buy. All right, I think that's good.
This is good. I hopefully we didn't confuse too many people. This is something Bruce and I are very passionate about. So reach out always to talk about this and share best practices. If you've messed up, done something well, need help on something, this is fun. So, yeah.
Pronouncers, we appreciate you guys joining us for another episode. Yeah, Steven said hopefully this demystifies a little bit around the corner, which we love to do and share. And we will see you guys on the next episode. All right. Have a great week. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications. If you enjoyed this video, if you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.